coming up?
I am quaking in my boots here.
Dark and exciting voice.
I'll be very surprised if you give me a read that's jazzy.
You're such an old shark, can't you?
I don't like the cream stuff on the inside.
It's a list within a list.
Immediately he ignored me.
You never see him do it.
He must do it.
I do love a clean edit.
Oh, he does.
Oh, keep your edits clean, dear.
We've grown together, exactly right.
How do you say that?
Crack on, everybody.
Nobody ever compares out to Bradford.
And now, enjoy the podcast.
How do you say that?
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 Hello, welcome to How Do You Say That, sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. Here is my co-host, Samantha Boffin.
Well, hello there. And this is my co-host, Mark Rice.
Hello. This is the performance podcast for voice actors where we talk to a different voice actor every week, play around with some scripts,
and discover that there isn't just one way to read a script, there are lots of different ways. Mm-hmm. So, Mark, true or false? I am taller than my husband.
Oh, now I've seen you and your husband together, but never back to back, and you might have been wearing high heels. Oh. I'm going to go off piste here and say you're exactly the same size.
No, but he's not that much taller than me. He's a couple of inches taller than me.
Okay.
So, but he quite likes high heels, so he's very happy with me in high heels.
Okay, here's my true or false. I once ate a whole pack of Cadbury's cream eggs in one sitting.
For sure. For sure. Of course you did.
Actually, no, because I don't like Cadbury's cream eggs.
Shock.
It's the only type of Easter egg I don't really like. I don't like
Shock.
The cream stuff on the inside.
That does surprise me.
All right, let's welcome our special guest, voice actor John Kennard. Hello, John, how are you?
Well, hello.
Hello. Dark and exciting voice.
Sam, let's find out a bit more about John, shall we?
Yes, absolutely. So John is a Yorkshire man exiled to London. John was a rather late starter to the voice acting business, but he's now in his fourth year and he has built a reputation as a versatile voice actor and narrator. He's recently co-starred in Audio Mystery Theatre's Death Among the Olives. Wow. The luscious 1930s Hollywood audio drama The High Note, and is a regular in various other UK and US productions.
He's also played many roles in indie and AAA games, including Neo 3, Farming Simulator, and the highly anticipated indie game The Bureau of Fantastical and Arcane Affairs.
Ooh.
He's recently added animation, e-learning, and commercial clients to his list of customers, and his voice has been described as warm, educated, and trustworthy with a side of cheeky humour. He's a father, a Lego addict, and a compulsive tinkerer. Welcome to the podcast, John. No tinkering here. Have you got a fun fact for us?
I do, actually, yes.
Good.
In one of my past jobs, every evening for 6 weeks, I had to insert a little box of electronics down David Essex's arse crack.
No way.
It was panto season at Bradford Alhambra, where I was working as a techie. For this production, I was sound number one, so I was responsible for all things soundy on the stage, including radio mics. The panto was Robinson Crusoe, and David was our eponymous lead. The opening scene had him bounding onto the stage wearing nothing but a faux animal skin wrap Velcro in place, which covered just enough to make it legal.
Right.
And to prevent ladies of a certain age from coming over all necessary. So, yeah, we had this weighty little sort of metal box about the size of a fag packet, which needed to be secure enough that it didn't bounce around or that it didn't pull down whatever it was attached to and cause embarrassment headlines and a probable legal suit. So we had a choice of front or back, really. Front would have caused too much interference.
Well, yes.
Indeed.
Of both kinds. Yeah, got to know him quite well. He's a lovely fella.
I bet, absolutely. And so with transmitters in unusual places, let's have a look at the first script of our show and ask, how do you say that?
How do you say that?
Well, I can't really follow that, to be perfectly honest, but I have got a script up my sleeve.
At least it's up
my
sleeve.
Down my pants. Right. So I've got this exciting script to bring you, which in no way is as exciting as the David Essex story. But however, this is obviously a little, it's a corporate-y explainery type thing.
About farming?
About farming.
There's quite a lot of numbers in it, Sam. There's quite a lot of percentages and dates and all kinds of things.
I know. It wasn't my finest hour, I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
I'm not good with numbers. And, in fact, little insight, I have to write the numbers out longhand.
Do you?
Not the percentages, actually. The percentages don't worry me so much. But the other ones, I have to actually go into the script and write out.
Is that a touch of numerical dyslexia?
I do. Sad to say, I do.
I think a lot of people do, actually. Mm. I only write numbers out in scripts when they are paying by the word and they think that 1700 is one word and not two words. So I make
You're
sure
that... such an old shark.
11.3% is four words, not one, as word counts it as. So, you know, it's like, don't get shortchanged, people.
Extra 20p.
Yeah, those extra 20p's add up in a 40,000 word script.
No, you're right.
Did you do it to picture or were they following you?
No, I did not do it to picture. But usually what pictures do for me, pictures and music, they keep me on the straight and narrow.
They keep me there. You know what the pace is then.
Yeah, that's long form. Yep. So I have to work extra hard in my mind to be jazzier when I haven't got anything to keep me on the road, as it were.
I'll be very surprised if you give me a read that's jazzy with this. But we'll see. We will see. Absolutely. John, have you got any questions?
No, I must say, it's very good of you to choose a farming-related one, since I spent quite a lot of time last year working with Farming Simulator 25. So, this is right up my street now.
This is up your street now.
Experienced.
Oh, okay.
Enjoy this then, boys.
Well, I'll try, and I'll try and bring the 1,700 farms. I'll go first, John, then we'll chat about it, and then you can have a go, okay?
Okie doke.
So you would say 1,700?
Yeah.
I said 1,700.
That's fine. I can say 1,700, if that's...
Okay, just so you know.
There's even more words in 1,700.
I'm surprised you didn't just go straight for that.
I probably would have done. I like it when it's 1,724, then it's 1,724. Anyway, right, with the numbers, here we go. This script's really weird because it begins with an and, Sam. Is this midway through something?
Yes, it is midway. I mean, I deliberately kind of chose a bit from the script that meant you were on the run, as it were, from it.
Sure.
Because I thought that would be more challenging for us.
All right, then. I'm going to put a bit of pre-life in it so that the and more makes sense. Let's see.
Ooh. Do it.
Yeah, why not?
Do it.
200 farms in town and more than 1,700 farms on the outskirts of British towns and cities have disappeared since 2010. This loss totals 56,000 hectares of farmland, similar in size to Leeds, impacting food security and environmental sustainability. Although the areas studied in the report represent just 11.3% of UK agricultural land, this land produces a large proportion of staple foods, including over 20% of our wheat, oats and barley yield, 14% of potatoes, and 13.3% of the UK's milk production.
It is riveting stuff, isn't it?
Yes, it's tough with those numbers, actually, because the thing that I noticed, it's a bit like some of those KPI scripts that you get occasionally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it, actually. I don't think I could improve on that. I think it was really good. Not too rushed.
I wondered about that, actually. I wondered whether it was not too rushed or not. I thought maybe the first paragraph was a bit quick.
Yeah, it's because it's complicated info to land, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, in fact, it's all complicated in that there's a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff to take away. But I don't think anybody is really going to take away the minutiae of all of this. It just is an overarching
feel. What you're basically saying is no one's going to listen to it anyway.
Well, it's going to be... You just know that if there's loads of stats like that, they're going to be backed up visually.
So the visual is going to be there.
In many ways, although, yes, it's all important stuff, it only serves their purpose to kind of be factually accurate, but to give you an overall feel of the amazingness of it, if you see what I mean.
Sure.
I liked it.
That was guarded, wasn't it? Yes.
Yes.
I just wondered if the very first paragraph, actually, was... was very informational, but you made it sound a little bit informational.
Yes, when it could have been more conversational. Mm. Yes, that's fair.
So are we going for more conversational or are we going for more informational?
Well, Which way should we go? Very good point. I mean, they've asked for it to be sort of friendly and interesting, I suppose, is really, you know, where we went with it. You know, it is informational, but you kind of got to inject, or I injected, I hope anyway, something that was a little lighter, a little friendlier, a little more conversational.
So, John, this is the decision that you've got to make now. Informational or conversational? Let's see what you do with it, shall we?
Right, let's have a go. And more than 1,700 farms on the outskirts of British towns and cities have disappeared since 2010. This loss totals 56,000 hectares of farmland, similar in size to Leeds, impacting food security and environmental sustainability. Although the areas studied in the report represent just 11.3% of UK agricultural land, this land produces a large proportion of staple foods, including over 20% of our wheat, oats and barley yield, 14% of potatoes, and 13.3% of the UK's milk production.
Interesting, interesting. Do you know what I thought? Newsreader there, it felt a bit newsreadery.
Okay. Yeah.
Does that make sense, Sam? So it gives, yeah. So that more informational side of it came through.
Yeah, and it had an authority about it, actually, yes. which I actually really like. But there are different ways of doing it. They're all quite, you know, legit, if you like.
Yeah, yeah.
And authority, expert authority, is one of those that you could absolutely do.
It felt almost like a report within something like Countryfile.
Yes, it did.
So, Sam, I wonder where you actually went with it then, whether you went more informational or more conversational.
Do you know, yeah, absolutely. Let's see, because usually, we'll see, won't we? And more than 1,750, you see, I immediately go crazy
yes.
when I'm,
yes.
I'm given a
yes.
number. Right, okay. And more than 1,700 farms on the outskirts of British towns and cities have disappeared since 2010. This loss totals 56,000 hectares of farmland, similar in size to Leeds, impacting food security and environmental sustainability. Although the areas studied in the report represent just 11.3% of UK agricultural land, this land produces a large proportion of staple foods, including over 20% of our wheat, oats and barley yield, 14% of potatoes, and 13.3% of the UK's milk production.
Yeah, it felt there slightly as if you were treading towards the numbers, but that you have explained that already. I thought it was a nice actual conversational. It was less information.
Yeah, but also, I think perhaps because of your thing with the numbers, there was that little pause between each one, which underlines each number. I don't know
yes,
if that
it did.
Was deliberate. But
well, because they're coming up on the screen at that point, yes.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, because I think they wanted those marqueed, I think, within
yeah.
it.
Uh-huh.
As they would, because that brings out the information in the film. I mean, that's quite
yeah.
nice. I'm imagining a lovely cornfield as we see this.
Well, so am I, but who knows? Who knows?
Who knows?
Who
exactly
knows?
Itching to
I
roll around
don't.
In it, aren't you, Mark?
Yeah.
That was a tricky opening script this week, I
it
thought.
Was.
And
it
didn't look
so.
Difficult, but it was much trickier than I thought.
Yes, that's one of the reasons
yeah.
I bought it, because I found it tricky, actually.
Yeah. Interesting.
I found that second paragraph in particular, with all the commas in it. It's
yeah.
Especially with that. Wheat, oats and barley yield. And then it goes
yeah.
on to say more of the list. So, yeah, it's a list within a list,
it
which is always
a
whoa.
And that's always horrible. Well, it is worthwhile remembering these are real scripts we're working on. We have changed some names and some details to avoid copyright issues. Remember, you can find both the scripts that we're using in the show notes of this episode.
Play How Do You Say That?
So, John, tell us a little
yes.
bit about this little baby.
Well, I don't do very many commercials, but I was approached to do this one
yep.
for a shopping mall in Canada. There's a
okay.
there's a thing to this which you may or may not spot. You will realise
okay.
when I do it.
Okay.
you're not going to give us a better clue than that.
I'm not going to give any more clues than that.
Okay.
I think that this might be Attenborough. And that's how I'm going to do it.
You would be correct.
Yes, that's what I assumed
okay.
as well.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
of that opening line.
Literally because of the prairie humans. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, let's see if I can invoke a little bit of species watching. Ever an adaptive species, the prairie humans instinctively seek shelter in cold spells. But when movie streaming runs dry, the biological urge for playtime kicks in. Fortunately, West Wallington Mall offers an indoor oasis and endless enjoyment of shopping, splashing and loop-de-loops. The result is fewer sibling fights and the avoidance of a condition known as cabin fever. West Wallington Mall. Go play inside.
Nice.
One thing I did mention
is
it's 30 seconds.
Oh, well, yes. So a touch faster. A touch faster than that.
Oh, goodness. Well, the problem is you can get this into 30 seconds.
Yes, I'm sure you can.
But to do a good Attenborough, a lovely ponderous nature, it took a lot of takes to get it right.
I'm very pleased that you didn't tell me it was 30 seconds before I just attempted that. I'd assumed it. I deliberately very didn't ask the question.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
But it was along the right kind of lines, was it, John?
Yes. It was along the right lines.
That sort of hushed documentary. Okay. So whilst I will probably go down the hushed route, same route, I need to pick up the pace. And also, of course, I've never been asked to do Attenborough, funnily enough.
Funny enough.
Apart from on this show once, I think.
Apart from on this show, yes, absolutely. I've worked with him, but I haven't
go for that.
Name dropper.
Nice. Clang!
Clang! But yes. Okay, so I need to do something similar. Okay. Ever an adaptive species, the prairie humans instinctively seek shelter in cold spells. But when movie streaming runs dry, the biological urge for playtime kicks in. Fortunately, West Wallington Mall offers an indoor oasis and endless enjoyment of shopping, splashing and loop-de-loops. The result is fewer sibling fights and the avoidance of a condition known as cabin fever. West Wallington Mall. Go play inside.
Bravo. Yeah, that was, obviously not Attenborough, but it worked really well.
It invoked that feeling, though.
It felt rushed, but I suspect it did fit into 30, though.
I always feel rushed. well, interestingly, as we have pointed out before, when you do something that is not your own delivery, if you like, when you're doing a character delivery, it's an awful lot easier to get things in the time.
And it didn't sound rushed to me. Actually, John, I wonder if you agree with that. I don't think that did sound rushed, but you got the kind of, you embodied a bit of Attenborough there.
That bit, not the Attenborough bit so much, but that idea of embodying a character has been a very useful trick for me when I've had quick things to do, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing how, even if you just imagine you're somebody else, it's amazing how the difference it makes to your delivery.
It's the character versus speed ratio.
Yes. Isn't it weird? Yeah. You'd have thought it would be the opposite.
You would.
Because you'd be trying to create a character. But I felt a little bit hushed, but maybe that was just...
I think that's what invoked it, to be fair. I think that's how we put it where we knew we were going with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hushed was all right. It worked.
Okay. I kind of had to pretend to be excited, female... you know, kind of explorer. That's what I kind of went. And I probably, if I did it again, would have done something a lot more theatrical with it.
Oh.
And not me. So ever an adaptive species, you know, do a real character.
Yeah. I think the excitedness is what made me feel like it was rushed. It wasn't so much rushed as excited.
Here we go then. Yes. Whenever you're ready.
Ever an adaptive species, the prairie humans instinctively seek shelter in cold spells. But when movie streaming runs dry, the biological urge for playtime kicks in. Fortunately, West Wallington Mall offers an indoor oasis and endless enjoyment of shopping, splashing and loop-de-loops. The result is fewer sibling fights and the avoidance of a condition known as cabin fever. West Wallington Mall. Go play inside.
Nice. And you aged that right up as well. Yeah. You took it into the slightly higher register as well. That worked nicely, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
And did you, when you did it, did you go and listen to the rhythm of Attenborough to remind yourself what it was?
Because the rhythm was definitely there.
Loads and loads. I did rip a bit of Attenborough video onto a PC and slice it up. And just repeat after him each bit and compare the two.
Interesting.
Until I could match it. So done a lot of that.
It's like listening to the sound of music, isn't it? Really, when you're particularly his voice, actually, or people who've got very distinctive rhythms and ways.
Oh, the
of
rhythm
speaking.
And the pacing. Yes, absolutely.
I don't think David Attenborough was in The Sound of Music, was he?
The Sound of Attenborough.
That would have been brilliant, wouldn't it?
The hills are alive. Yes,
the sound of apes are
the sound
alive
of David.
With the sound.
Well, of course, we can think about these scripts in another way now, because let's Uh-oh. Approach them slightly differently. It's the wild card bit of the show, John.
The wild dun, card dun, bit of the show. Yes, dun. Of course. And John, can you pick one of the scripts, give one of us a new motivation or character?
How about doing script two?
Yes.
As a surly, shouty sergeant major.
Hello.
Ooh, who am I going to do with this? Shall I give it to Mark? Shall I give it to Sam? Mark. Sam.
Okie dokie. Let's try this. Mark knows exactly the face I pulled before that.
And not only that, you have done a wild card in a similar style.
Have I?
A long time ago, probably a couple of years ago now, but I remember it being very good.
Oh, God. That's just the worst thing you could possibly say to me. I'm thinking, God, this is a nightmare that's happening in front of my very ears.
You're very good
you're
at
saying,
plucking
yeah,
a
nightmare.
You're very good at plucking a nightmare out.
I'm not really okay then. So, sorry, Sergeant Major Shouty.
Surly Shouty, yeah.
Surly Shouty, okay.
Are you going to go Windsor Davis, though? That's what I want.
I'm not going to go Windsor Davis, am I? Ridiculous.
Wouldn't that be funny, though?
Honestly. Right, then. Okay.
Okay.
All right, troops, line up. I've just about had enough of you lot. Now, ever an adaptive species, the prairie humans instinctively seek shelter in cold spells. But when a movie streaming runs dry, the biological urge for playtime kicks in. Now, fortunately, West Wallington Mall offers an indoor oasis and endless enjoyment of shopping, splashing and loop-de-loops. The result is fewer sibling fights. The avoidance of a condition known as cabin fever. West Wallington Mall. Yes. Go play inside.
What was that growl? The growl towards the end?
No idea. I was looking across the line of terribly badly dressed soldiers.
Oh, I loved that.
I growled at them.
I thought that was nice. And I could tell you were surly and annoyed with them. Yes. Very much so.
I am quaking in my boots here.
I'm not sure that it was what anybody wanted, quite frankly. But there it was. That was it.
Right, John, I've got a fun one for you.
Oh, God, here
we go. I'm going to get you to do script one. And as it's about farmers and farming, I'm going to ask you to be a farmer. Now, I would like you to be one of two different types of farmers. You can either be a Yorkshire farmer as per All Creatures Great and Small, the original series. You know, those surly kind of farmers that James Herriot
Nice.
Met. Or West Country farmer. I want to hear one of those, if that's possible. I don't mind which, but...
Okay.
Or leaning on a gate.
Leaning on a gate, yeah.
Popping on a pipe.
See, now I'd have gone West Country, but actually...
Well, you can go either way. It's whatever you want.
Ooh, cheeky.
Right, here we go. And more than 1,700 farms on the outskirts of British towns and cities have disappeared since 2010. This loss totals 56,000 hectares of farmland, similar in size to Leeds, you know, impacting food security and environmental sustainability. Although the area studied in the report represent just 11.3% of UK agricultural land, this land produces a large proportion of staple foods, including over 20% of our wheat, oats and barley yield, the nose, 14% of potatoes, and 13% of the UK's milk production.
Interesting.
So there you go.
A real character, though, rather than you going back to maybe your Yorkshire roots. That was a real different kind of character, quite a spiky farmer character.
I liked to imagine. Well, I don't know who were you talking to. In my imagination, this was somebody. This was Vox Pops. Somebody got you in the street.
Nice.
And said, "Now then."
It was his long-suffering wife, I'm afraid.
Oh, really? Oh, God.
He was letting off steam.
He was.
It's lovely, sort of comedic. I love the similar in size to Leeds. Yes. I'm outraged.
Nobody ever compares out to Bradford.
No, indeed.
No, so, Mark, I want you to go serious.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we've done two funny ones. I want you to be serious. I want you to have real...
Gravitas?
Terror.
Oh, God.
Yes.
You're inside a lift.
Yeah.
The lift is malfunctioning in some way. You are in there with your young nephew and you don't want to scare the bejesus out of him.
Okay.
So you are trying to hold it together.
Yeah.
Whilst pushing the buttons that you think might get you out. And maybe even, if you can, within the actual words on the page, as if you're talking to the lift attendant.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
And I'd like you to do script two.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the lift's about the same size as my booth, so that's about right.
Actually, that's quite, yeah, yeah. That's quite good. You yeah. can find the pivot point when it starts malfunctioning, but it's yeah. that.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway.
Now, Terry, ever an adaptive species, the prairie humans instinctively... Oh. It's okay. Instinctively seek shelter in cold spells. But the... When the movie streaming runs dry, the No, it's okay. The biological urge for playtime kicks in. Fortunately, West Mollington Wall offers indoor oasis, endless enjoyment of shopping, splashing. No! And loop-de-loops. Yeah, huh? Quickly. The results, fewer sibling fights, the avoidance of a condition known as cabin fever. West Wallington Wall. Go play inside.
Oh, God. Oh, God, what happened at the end?
The lights went out.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
I liked the bit, presumably, the bit where you were talking to them was like that frantic bit in the middle.
Yes, I was pushing the foam on my wall to try and get the button to work.
Very nice.
Well, if you want to play along in the privacy of your own booth, as we've said, we put the scripts in the show notes. You can have a try yourself in whichever style you like.
So, John.
Yes.
You started in VO when you were into your 50s, is that right?
Yes, a very old man. Yes.
Very old man. So how did you find that? Was it daunting? Was it straightforward? How was it?
It was odd, actually. It was very, very mixed because on the one hand, people who are new to the business or just don't know the business particularly, don't know the people in it, just assume that because I'm of a certain vintage, I must have been doing it for years and have bucket loads of experience. So, yes, I had to kind of learn fast and pretend.
Actually, it's a really good point, actually. Because, yes, absolutely, from the outside perspective, one would assume that you've been doing it for years and years and years, yeah.
And was that really a case of fake it till you make it?
Fake it till you make it, yeah.
Exactly that, Mark. On the other hand, my student cohorts, when I was learning the ropes, were all younger than my son in some cases. So I found it a lot harder to gel. I didn't really have a cohort as such. Because, right. Because they were just a different generation totally. Mm-hmm.
So what did
they're
you
talking
do?
About influence and whatever. And
where did you start? Where did you go to?
Well, I actually started reading audiobooks for LibriVox. But then I found my way into audio drama from that because we did a dramatic read of a book and I thought, oh, I love this. So I played about eight different characters in it and I thought, oh, yeah, I could do more of this. Mm-hmm. Somehow I ended up getting involved with some US indie audio dramas and connections from that got me into more of them and more of them. And so much of that is all about who you know and who recommends you to what.
I thought LibriVox was a sort of portal where you could find books that were out of copyright. Am I right?
Yeah.
So you did them off your own bat. You didn't do them for other people necessarily, but you found books that you wanted to narrate and you did it.
Not quite.
Okay.
There's a forum that's run full of volunteer narrators, basically.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Of varying quality. And you just volunteer to read whatever, either a chapter of a book or play a part in a read or take on an entire book if you're brave.
So did you go into a studio with LibriVox?
No, it's all done at home.
So it's all done at home. So you have to have to a certain extent, you have to be set up with at least a fair way of being able to record sound, even if it's not super professional, but you have to be able to record sound and edit it. Yeah?
Yes, yes, indeed. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's plenty of people with USB mics in untreated spaces.
Yeah, yeah. But nonetheless, you know, what an amazing resource. Yeah.
It is. It is. Yeah. And it's a superb place to practice as well.
A great learning tool. Exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah.
John, you started in voiceover around about the time that we started the podcast. As an interesting question, have you found it helpful?
Oh, goodness, yes. Yeah, yeah, especially in the early days in particular, I would take a lot of the scripts you did and I think, oh, I wonder how I'd do that and give it a go, literally, as you said. And for lots of them, I've done that and tried to keep up with them.
That makes us feel very good.
We've grown together.
We've grown together, so exactly right. I don't know if you now feel as old as we do.
Yeah. Oh, I won't go that far, Mark.
well, on that note, John, thank you very much.
Yes, goodbye.
Goodbye, yes. A reminder that all of John Kennard's details can be found in the show notes of the episode.
And of course, those lovely scripts are there too. And if you want to see what we all look like in our booths, do check out the podcast by searching at HDYST Podcast on TikTok and Instagram, and you can see us all in action.
Absolutely. John, I hope you've enjoyed it. Have you had a good time?
Oh, it's been a great laugh. Yeah, it has been lovely.
Good. That's it for this week. Thanks again to John Kennard. We'll be back next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest when we'll be asking, how do you say that?
How do you say that?